This is Right from the Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young. And this is the podcast from writers for writers, answering the question,
why am I doing this?
As writers, editors,
and a former literary agent,
we're in the deep with you.
Bringing interviews, inspiration, and information to encourage, refresh, and equip you to embrace the deep, to find your truest story, your truest message in the deep places.
You can get the episode show notes, lots more information and encouragement, and your free audio download, 5 crucial ways to safeguard your writer's heart at writefromthedeep.com.
It's time for fun stuff.
Fun stuff. Yay. So fun. Speaking of fun, man, we had a great time at the Mount Hermon Christian Writers Conference. And afterwards,
yeah,
we got to recharge a little bit together on the way home on the coast. So that was fun. That was all fun stuff. But one thing I would say is if you ever go to a conference or if you've ever gone, especially if you're an introvert, plan time to recharge afterwards. That's an informal conference tip for you guys. Plan time to just be alone or whatever you need and understand that it is going to wear you out and it's okay. And it's okay to need time to recharge afterwards.
And the recharging sometimes is what's the most fun. So make sure you do that. More conferences where you'll find us this year. Erin will be at the Colorado Christian Writers Conference at the YMCA in Estes Park Center, May 16 through 19. You can check out more about it at http://colorado.writehisanswer.com. Okay. And then we'll both be at the SoCal Writers Conference, June 21st through 23rd. That will be held at Biola University in California. And Erin and I are teaching a continuing workshop on, you guessed it, writing from the deep. Woohoo! So check that one out at SoCalCWC.com. And now, here's the show!
Welcome, writers, to the deep. We're glad that you've joined us today. There are so many ways the enemy seeks to undermine God's work in us, in our ability to rely on and trust in God's desire to use us. And you guys, you know it's true. All you have to do is live one day to know that the enemy is seeking to undermine what God wants to do in us. And one of the most subtle and effective tools that Satan uses against us is compromise. He whispers into our heart and into our spirit that giving in on little things isn't so bad.
But here's the problem. Those little things become bigger things, often without us even being aware of it. And soon we're doing, saying, and writing things we never imagined we would. Things we know in our heart of hearts are not just dangerous, but flat out wrong. And the results of all of that are pretty ugly. Just a few results: shame, guilt, speaking lies in the place of truth, defensiveness, the need to repent.
Yeah, and over all of this is the ugliest thing of all, idolatry. Okay, so that might be a shock, but here's the thing. Idolatry is about letting something else take God's place in your heart. It's about valuing your will, your desire, your ideas, your plans over God's will, over God's instructions, and over God's plan. It's about what we value most. And okay, this has been happening since the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's pretty obvious, you know, like in the garden, don't eat from that tree. And they ate from the tree. But sometimes, and this is what we want to focus on today, sometimes compromise starts with one small step, and there's consequences to that one small step, and those consequences come in the here and now, and even more so in the future. We wake up, and we find that we're very, very far away from where we wanted to be and where we hoped to be, and we can't often even figure out how we got there.
That's the hardest thing, is not knowing or not admitting or not realizing how we got there. I saw the doctor recently, and I'd been having some stomach issues for about 2 months. But over those 2 months, I became so used to dealing with the stomach issues that it was almost like that was the new normal for me. I didn't realize how bad it was getting until I went into the doctor's office and sat down, and she took one look at me, and she said, you don't look like this ever. She said, you look terrible. You're pale, you're sweating. And she sent me to the ER. I had gotten so accustomed to dealing with the stomach issues I was having that I didn't realize I was in a pretty bad and even dangerous place. And so I went to the ER and they diagnosed me with a complication of diabetes that meant I had to change everything about what I eat and how I eat and all of that. Had I not gone to the doctor, had she not recognized that I was in trouble and sent me to the ER, it could have had a very bad ending. So, you know what? You've got to pay attention to the little things. You've got to pay attention to the little decisions that give you that niggling feeling inside that nothing's right. Pay attention.
So there are lots and lots of places we could go when we talk about this slippery slope of compromise, but we're going to limit ourselves to a few examples of compromise that are relevant to us as writers, as people whose commodity is words. So let's talk about the first kind of compromise, and that's compromise with the things that we see and hear, or you can think of it as compromise on what we take in.
So I've realized over the last, several years, the ways that foul language and graphic or careless sexuality have infested so much of what we see on TV, in streaming services, in movies, in books, everywhere. I found this new TV series, new to me, it had been on for a while, called The Magicians, and it could have been a terrific fantasy series. But it descended into this morass of depravity and devaluing God and making their gods, who they saw as God, capricious and cruel, such that they had to kill them to save the pathetic world. And the world they killed these gods to save wasn't worth saving. Yeah. It was so full of darkness and awful, awful things. And how utterly unnecessary those elements, the language and their perception of God and the sexuality, they were so unnecessary to the actual stories being told. And so much of what I watch in the evenings works its way into my dreams. I watch that show often before I would go to bed, and it would work its way into my dreams. And I imagine it's the same for many writers. And then I woke up troubled, like I'd been fighting evil all night, which I came to realize I had. Yeah. Having all of those things in our minds and heart just clutters them up so that we lose the ability to hear God and we lose the ability to have our minds transformed by the Spirit, like it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. And I'm adding to what he's saying here, give your minds to God and give your imaginations to God. And he goes on to say, let them be living and holy sacrifices, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect.
Yes. So here's the thing. When we have all of that crud in our minds and our hearts and we get cluttered, we lose the ability to hear God, like Karen says, and it numbs us. And that is consequences. We need to be aware of that slippery slope of letting these things numb us. We need to retain our outrage. You know, I once saw a movie. I don't even remember the title, but it was about this guy who was like a Quaker from like 200 years ago or something. And somehow he ends up jumping through time and he ends up in our century, and he hears, like, you know, he's looking at what's going on in our culture, and they're portraying his shock and his horror. And in particular, you know, he hears somebody take the Lord's name in vain, and he's just like, oh, he couldn't believe that that would happen, that somebody would do that. And yet, how often do we hear that today? Hourly, yeah. Even kids, adults, you name it. And the third commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And yet, it's all around us. This constant misuse of God's name devalues it, and it numbs us, and that primes us for the next phase here. Sinful minds, what we take in, goes into sinful actions. Right. Look at what Romans 1, 28 through 32 tells us what happens when we don't want God in our knowledge any longer, and when we lose the ability to hear him and have our minds transformed by him. This is what it says. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. What's in our minds, guys, what's in our minds will translate into actions.
So all of this points to the second compromise, and that's compromise in the words we speak and write, and that's what goes out of us. How many of us use God's name in a careless way? Oh my God, that was so funny. Guys, that's not just some simple thing that you're doing there. And I know, you think of blue-haired church ladies coming to you and saying, don't swear, but I'm telling you right now, it's not blue-haired church ladies who are against that, it's God. Our responsibility on earth is to be truth-tellers, truth-speakers, truth-writers. We've been given such a gift, a talent in using words, and we can use that to build up or to tear down. But all the things we've been letting into our minds, the books we read, the TV we watch, all the unnecessarily violence, gratuitous sex, foul language, all those things undermine the idea that we can create solid stories without the use of such things. How often have Christian writers gotten together and talked about the fact that you just can't depict evil without using obscenities or graphic material? Friends, that's not being realistic, which is how we like to couch that idea. It's not being realistic. You've got to steer clear of such things because using them doesn't make you authentic. Using them makes you take a step down that slippery slope. The story doesn't benefit from such things. In fact, what I've seen is that those kinds of things become more of the focus of the story than any theme or true story world. And that actually damages the power of the story rather than enhancing it. You have to write in evocative ways rather than explicit ways. When we write, we can show evil without ever using an obscenity or any graphic material. So when we think about these things, about what's going out from the depth of what's inside of us, what can we do to ensure that we are honoring God and not taking one single step down that slippery slope? So here are a few action steps. Number one, for me and for many of us, I've realized I have to stop giving those things entry into my mind and spirit. The moment I realize something I'm watching has a focus that takes me to a bad place, I need to stop watching it. Really hard for me to do because I love story and I always want to see how the story comes out. But it happened to me just yesterday. I was watching a movie and there was nothing obvious in it that was wrong. And yet inside, I realized that I had a sick feeling from watching this thing. It was the gradual depravity of humans that I was watching, and they were going into a dark place. There wasn't anything explicit, but the story world was a very dark place, and I realized I needed to walk away. It was more important for me to walk away from that movie that was sickening me than to see how the story turned out.
Another step you can take is to consider a media fast. So what I'm saying is take time off from television, from movies, dare I say even Facebook, for like 3 months to help give you a perspective. That's what that time is for. I did this once. I went away from television, from anything with a screen for several months. And when I went back, it was appalling. I had fresh eyes to see the utter debasity that was going on. Honestly, now I barely watch TV. It's become so unimportant. And part of the reason for that is that when you do a fast, you need to fill that time with something else. And when you fill it with God, with spending time with Him, with reading His Word, and with praying, with just thinking and meditating on Him, it becomes far more fulfilling. So pretty soon TV doesn't matter anymore. I'm not so involved in those stories. I actually could care less because God becomes so much more my focus, and it can happen for you as well. One other thing I want to mention when we're thinking about these kinds of movies, television, books, we are all sinners. And we all struggle with our own types of sin, regardless of what we're writing, but just in our lives, we struggle with sin. And I was listening to a podcast by John Piper, and he talked about how the problem with watching TV or movies or things with these kind of unsavory things happening, it awakens in us a desire to sin, and that strengthens the bondage of something that we might personally be fighting against. And that fight can be undone just by watching something on TV. So he suggests and counsels to find those streams that are feeding the river of those desires and cut it off.
I think that's great counsel. We also, number three, we need to focus on speaking truth on what builds up the body. Listen to Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Guys, if you find that you are letting words out carelessly that shouldn't come out, even sarcasm is oftentimes anger disguised as humor. And if you're using sarcasm to hurt people, you need to stop.
God says that we're going to be judged. Jesus tells us that on the day of judgment, men will have to give an account for every careless word they have spoken. And that's in Matthew 12, 36 and 37. Make no mistake, our words are going to be judged.
Step number four that we can take is to focus on speaking with gratitude. We've lost that sense of gratitude. We take things for granted far too often. But listen to Ephesians 5, 1 through 7. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. That's who we are, guys. We are dearly loved children to God. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual morality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Friends, do you see yourselves as holy people? You need to, because you are in God's eyes. The scripture goes on to say, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. And you know what? When we watch those things, when we read them, when we take them into our minds and hearts, we're partnering with them. We're going directly against what Scripture has told us. So instead, how about if we agree that we're going to work to be a fragrant offering and a sacrifice for God?
Yes.
And thanksgiving, when we enter into thanksgiving, that gets our position in relation to God right. He's sovereign. We're dependent on Him. He is in the position of the highest value in the universe He created. And when we have that position right, we're not idolaters because we honor and worship Him.
Yeah, because let's go back here for number five to the basis of why we compromise. It's idolatry. It's valuing our own plans, ideas, rules, etc., over God. We value that over trusting Him and overvaluing Him. Adam and Eve sinned because they thought God was holding out on them, okay? They didn't trust Him to be good and wise and righteous and a steward of their best interests. They didn't value Him as God. Sometimes there's another issue we have of things we value over God, and that's when we value story over God. As Karen was saying, when she talked about how hard it is to turn away from a movie or a book or a TV show, But we have to. As writers, that kind of hits us where we live. I get that. But here's what James 5:21 says. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. And that means story, too. Keep away from story that takes God's place in your heart.
So, hey, the world has its own idea of a slippery slope, and that often is that if you give God access to places like schools or courtrooms or media, you're surrendering your, quote, freedom, unquote, to religious constraints. But in reality, the true slippery slope is making choices and allowing yourself to do or watch or say or write the things that don't honor God. When we devalue or dishonor God, we put ourselves in a place where He won't honor us. And here's the thing. All it takes is one little step in the wrong direction for the slide down the slope to begin. You ever started to slide down the side of a mountain in mud and try to stop yourself and get back up? That slide, once it starts, it's really hard to get back from them. This isn't about living by rules, guys. It's about honoring God every day in every decision you make. It's about being so familiar with the voice of God's Spirit within us that we stop at that first indication that something isn't right, and we turn to God. Don't let the thrill of starting down that slide fool you. That thrill is not from God. That thrill is the enemy rejoicing in the fact that you've taken your first step away from Him. And that thrill desensitizes you to the voice of God and His Holy Spirit. You got to know the slippery slope only leads one way, and that's straight down. So instead, keep your focus up on God, on His ways, and on the joy, the pure, unadulterated joy of living as He instructs. Because He made us, He knows us, and He knows how we work best.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening today. We hope you found it helpful.
You might also like the backlist episodes, which you can find along with a free audio download, 5 Crucial Ways to Safeguard Your Writer's Heart, at our website, writefromthedeep.com.
If you'd like to support the show, and we would love it if you'd do that, you can contribute through the website.
To connect with us, go to the website or tweet us at KarenBall1, that's the number one, or Aaron T. Young.
So until next time,
embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen.